Back in 1993, the Gin Blossoms first arrived on the national scene with the hit Hey Jealousy. From that point forward, it was like a hit machine, like every other week it seemed like. They had, you know, Found Out About You, Until I Fall Away, Allison Road, Till I Hear It From You, Follow You Down, and As Long As It Matters, among others. And joining us right now via Skype to talk about the old days of the Gin Blossoms and the current state of the band and his solo career also is Jesse from Gin Blossoms. How you doing, man?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Doing great. Before we talk about Gin Blossoms, now I heard a rumor that you have your second solo album out that you worked on with Danny from Rembrandts. How's that coming along?
It's done, and it's getting mastered this week. And it was going to be out by now. It's been done for quite some time, but we've been talking with a couple record labels and considering putting it out on a label as opposed to just by myself. So that's what we're kind of weighing.
And how does that, you know, compare to your first album? Because, you know, I love the first album. Is it kind of same sound, you know, different, obviously, or?
It is kind of the same sound, but maybe a little quieter, kind of a little more broken down.
Oh, cool.
Right. Yeah, it's worked out. I like it. It's got a good vibe, and production's beautiful, and Danny did a great mix, and it sounds great. I like it.
So before we go way back to 87, I want to pimp your new album with the Gin Blossoms, well, new-ish, No Chocolate Cake, for those who haven't heard it yet. So kind of tell us about that album, and then kind of same question, is it kind of similar or different from like the mid-90s Gin Blossoms stuff?
You know, it's funny because I've heard from a lot of people really like that record, and I'm thankful. And at the same time, there's been some of the really fanatical fans, super fans who I love, who thought at first that it was just too radically different from our original stuff. But since then, I think some of them have softened a little bit and they realize it kind of, I think it still has the same tone as all the Gin Blossoms stuff. They don't really stray that much.
And then one of the songs that's done real well off that album is Miss Desiree. Talk about that song a little bit.
Well, Miss Desiree did pretty well for us. It's had a little radio action, which is tough to get these days. But people seem to react to it. I think it's a good song.
The album cover on that, I think, is pretty cool, too. So whose backside is that? Whose badonkadonk is that? Is it, you know, do you even know? What girl is?
No, I have no idea. You know, it's funny. It's either love it or hate it. I'm in the hate it crowd.
Really?
I just thought I was hoping that they would just have a chocolate cake, and then they did this sort of lover boy, you know, get lucky, Rita, and I didn't like anything about the artwork on the record. I was really disappointed that that label really let us down.
Huh. Must have been a guy that designed it. We know that at least, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cheeky, obviously, but I just thought it was so crass.
That's great. We're talking to Jesse right now from Gin Blossoms. You guys are also touring a lot these days as well. GinBlossoms.net has, you know, the whole calendar for the future and everything. So question I have, though, is Robin still handing out the tambourine and singing in people's cell phones like the old days?
Oh, sure, yeah. He's got some new material, too, but those, you know, he sticks with the classics.
They're staples, right?
Yeah, staples.
So let's go way back then to 87. You guys formed in Tempe, Arizona. How did you first get together? You know, how did you guys all meet?
Well, it was a bit of a different band when we first got together, different members who aren't with us anymore, but just through years of playing music, well, years, I mean, we were very young. We had all been in high school bands playing across Tempe and Phoenix and same parties and the same sort of, you know, group of people. So we just knew each other from when we were kids.
And the Gin Blossoms name, I've always heard it came from a photo of W.C. Fields. Is that true? And if so, where'd you see that photo at?
Yeah, it's true. It was in the book Hollywood Babylon.
Huh. And then your first album was released by a small record label called San Jacinto Records in 89. The first album was called Dusted. So, like, back then, what kind of jobs were you guys working, you know, during the day to help finance that record?
Oh, we didn't have jobs. We just played music.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a job when I first started the Gin Blossoms, but we started making money and we just quit jobs.
Usually,
it was always a part-time work. One time, Bill Lean and I actually shared a janitor job at a bar, and I think we each got $10 a piece for probably 2 hours' work, 3 hours, and $10 and then a beer, and then we'd go back home.
At a bar, too? That'd be the worst, wouldn't it? The janitor worked there?
It was mostly sweeping, mopping, and throwing out the trash.
Oh, okay, so that's not that bad, then.
Yeah.
Are there still copies of that first album out there floating around? Do you ever see them anymore?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we still sell them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I tried to order it once. And it said, like, back order or something, so I wasn't sure about that.
Really? Well, I'll get you one.
Oh, cool. That'd be great. So then around 1990, A&M Records signed you guys, and then your first major release, obviously, was in 92, New Miserable Experience. So I know it kind of took you guys a little bit longer than you wanted to get that album done. Is that where you came up with the album name, New Miserable Experience, or how'd that come together?
No, you know, New Miserable Experience is just, that's the way everybody in the band talks. It's just sort of a self-deprecating, negative connotation. That we always, that's, it's like, you know, instead of saying, hey, let's take off, somebody in the band will say, let's get out of this snake pit.
Mrs. Rita is probably top three of my all-time favorite Gin Blossom songs. So is that really about a local psychic in Tempe? Is that the real story of that?
She lives on Mill Avenue, right by the university. Yeah, she's there. I've never had my tarot read by her, but it was colorful and it sounded like a good song title.
Might be scary. I'm all scared of those tarot readings. Have you done that before ever anywhere?
You know, the truth is, sure. I have when I grew up, a very wonderful friend of mine who passed away about 10 years ago. He was a tarot card reader. And that's what he did for a living. And he was really gifted. But he's the only one I ever went to. And since he passed, I just haven't done it at all.
We're talking to Jesse right now from the Gin Blossoms. So that album was out for maybe about a year. Then Hey Jealousy took off on the radio about that time. So did you guys expect that to be a hit like that? And then had you kind of given up on big success after the album didn't take off for about a year? What were your expectations, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, It's interesting, the story, because it did take a while for it to take off. We were so busy touring, and I always have to, given this opportunity, I always have to explain how wonderful A&M Records was, because certainly in those days it did happen, but they went way above and beyond to help us. They really believed in the record, and there was a couple of young A&R staffers, Mariel Pastor and Larry Weintraub, who just kept going to the boss and saying, you know what, these guys are really great live, and the songs are going to stick. You know, if it doesn't happen on this first record, it's going to happen sooner or later. So they kept it alive, and then all of a sudden, you know, some radio stations picked up that tune, Jealousy, and the whole thing exploded.
The next single was Found Out About You. Kind of tell us the background on that song.
Well, that's just a beautiful song, and that had always been around from the very early days. Doug Hopkins had that song, so it was always in the Gin Blossoms, set list.
Now, I'm excited to ask you about my all-time favorite Gin Blossom song that's on that album as well, and kind of the story of that, Allison Road. So, you guys had a friend named Allison, is this true? And then you saw an exit sign for Allison Road on Interstate 10 in Roosevelt, Texas. Am I making that up, or did that happen?
That sounds about right. I do remember Robin was working on it when we were driving through Texas, and he had little bits of pieces of paper in his pocket, and he would write down phrases and stuff like that. And then quickly after we got back to Phoenix from that road trip, the song, we learned it right away.
And it's well written about, obviously, during those early stages of the album, seeing success. And unfortunately, Doug tragically passed away in December of 93. How shocking was that? And kind of tell us what kind of man he was.
It was very shocking. I got a call from Bill Lean. It was a Sunday morning, and he told me what had happened. It was horrible. Doug was a very funny, you know, smart, hilarious guy, you know. He had really wonderful qualities, and he was a brilliant songwriter. And we just didn't know enough in those days about depression. And it's a shame because nowadays we might have been able to help him a little bit, you know, with the advent of all of the medicines and therapy that are available now. We didn't know that much about that sort of mental illnesses back then.
Well, and I'd seen Robin quoted too in People magazine back in like the mid-90s saying that, quote, without Doug and his songwriting, we never could have signed a record deal. I mean, was he that great of a songwriter? How, you talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely he was. Absolutely. And, you know, at my advanced age, I can look back with the wisdom of my years. And it's very sad to think that if I knew then what I know now, I think I really could have helped him.
Between that first album and the second album, you had the big hit, Till I Hear It From You, which was on the Empire Records soundtrack. So was that song written for, you know, just for that movie, or did you guys kind of have that in the vault for a while?
No, I wrote that song with Marshall Crenshaw in a hotel room in Texas, in Austin, Texas, during the South by Southwest. He's a good friend of mine. He's a really great songwriter, and we just started kicking something around, and that's how it came out.
How did I get hooked up with that soundtrack? It just kind of they just liked it and picked it up then.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was we had the song, and then it quickly earmarked for that soundtrack, which was a very hip soundtrack. There was a lot of really cool songs on it, and I love that it was associated with a movie. It was kind of exciting, you know, it hadn't really had that much action in movies yet. Since then, it's become kind of one of sort of our bread and butter movie soundtracks. But it was exciting, you know.
The next album after that was Congratulations, I'm Sorry. It had Follow You Down on it. What was that song about?
You know, I think it was just a rock and roll tune. I don't know that it had any specific thematic quality. I think we just felt good, and then we just went from there.
Yeah, we're talking to Jesse right now from Gin Blossoms. So then following that album, you guys kind of went your separate ways for a while then in 1997. You know, what was the reason for that? And at that time, was it more of a break or a breakup, you know, at the time it happened?
You know, it was really a break, and it's a shame that it sort of got blown out of proportion because I think that it became probably a little more antagonistic between the fellows than it probably should have. If it had been, we didn't really have any management at the time, or they weren't doing a very good job. I mean, they were, I suppose. Maybe if they had, we were just stupid and inexperienced. We should have just said, hey, you go this way for a couple of years, and I'll go this way, and I'll meet you back in, you know, maybe 99 or 2000 or something, which is exactly what happened. But I think that my only concern was that I think it was a serious misstep for the management company to announce that the band had broken up.
Right.
Because we really didn't, and even during that period where tempers flared or whatever, we'd still play shows together. I mean, people would call for a benefit for some school in Phoenix or something, and, you know, it was hard to say no, so we would go play. And we certainly saw each other during that period. I mean, I would see all those guys around.
Well, by 2006, it was pretty obvious you guys were back together. You had your first album in about 10 years, Major Lodge, Victory. That had to have been pretty exciting, right? Like starting over again, I'm thinking in some ways, right?
Yeah, that was a cool record. You know, that record sold really well. And I listened to that record again recently, and it sounds really good. I really like that record. And it was exciting, and the label we had for that record did a really good job, and we spent a lot of time at different radio stations. And it's difficult at our stage of a career to get back that sort of heavy-duty radio play. But we still saw a lot of stations, and we did a lot of television, and I think it was a good announcement that we were back.
Do you have a favorite album out of all the Jim Blossoms albums?
No. No. I always think that the next one's going to be great.
Right.
Yeah, that's how I kind of try to live. But, you know, I'm proud of everything we've done. I'm proud of the band, and I'm proud of our touring. We've gone out there since 99-2000. We've created a great show, and we go out there every summer and give it our best. And you know, the Jim Blossoms were all guys who grew up together, and we all have families, and I'm just proud that we can work as musicians and take care of our families.
Well, you mentioned getting out there. Then obviously I want to ask you too about Thanksgiving 2010. I know you guys went over there to Iraq and played for the troops. What, I'm sure you learned a lot from that, right? Kind of what was that experience like over there?
Well, you know, you leave for something like that with preconceived notions, and even my imagination couldn't tell me the truth of, you know, how really lonely it is and tough for those soldiers that far away from home during a holiday. You certainly wouldn't hear it from them. They're very stoic men and women, you know, giving their time and their lives and everything they have for our country. They were great. They were wonderful people, and it was an honor to play music for them. And it was a pretty wild feeling to be standing in Saddam Hussein's castle, one of his houses, you know, eating turkey dinner on Thanksgiving. Huh. And we had this young girl who was escorting us around. She was probably 5'4", sweet, beautiful kid, very young. You know, you have to understand these soldiers, for the most part, are very, very young, and they're very brave. And she's 5'4". She's from Southern California, and she was carrying around an M16, making sure that we were safe. And I felt safe. She was a confident young soldier, and I just can't commend them enough. Their sacrifice they make. And I'm glad they're coming home.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. We're talking to Jesse from Jim Blossoms. And I guess our last question is a two-part question then. Kind of tell the fans, you know, how we can stay up to date with both your solo career and the Jim Blossoms. And then also the other part of that question would be, you know, what do you see the future of the Jim Blossoms being in the next 10 years or so? What are you kind of hoping happens?
You know, what I would love is that I would love to stay active in some writing for some movies. I think we've got a song and a new movie comes out next year. I think that's exciting, and it'd be nice to write for some TV shows. I do think that that's probably a little more possible than keep making records, because if we can keep pumping out singles and find a place for them via TV or movies, that would be exciting. And of course, you know, just keep playing live. I love playing live, and the band is really good at it, and the touring's fantastic. I like to get out there and play in all of the great places in the Midwest, you know, all over the country. And I think that we're going back to the Philippines and Japan, and we'll be going to Ireland next year and probably Australia, either 2012 or 13. And I hope we can keep playing for another 20 years. That's what I'd love.
That'd be great. It's genblossoms.net. You guys are on Twitter too, right? Facebook and everything?
I think there's some twitting happening. There's some twitting going on. There's the genblossoms.net, I think, and there's usually information about, like, what's going on with the new releases. And then I have jessevalenzuela.com, which they're supposed to freshen and make look new, and new information about the record will be coming out. I just want to get the damn thing out. It's been so long, but like I say, we're waiting on the final bits and pieces. But I think maybe, you know, what I might do is try and just put some songs up on the website, and then they can just download them for free.
Well, hopefully the person in charge of freshening up the website is not the same one in charge of No Chocolate Cake album cover, right?
No, they would never be in charge of you.